The grace of God be with you. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this day, for the opportunity for us to celebrate Pentecost together, for the movement of the Holy Spirit here and everywhere. Lord God, I pray that you would be present with us in this moment, that we would feel your peace, and that we would be moved by the Holy Spirit this day. We pray all these things in your heavenly name. Amen. What is it about a good transformation that we love so much? Our TVs are filled with transformation these days. Everything from transforming your home to transforming your garden or your yard, people being transformed by surgery or other things that they're doing. We love a good transformation story. And you know how we really like it? We really like it in 60 minutes while we're on our couch in our pajamas with popcorn. That's how we really like a transformation story, because we just want to watch the transformation take place. We don't really want to do the transforming, because that's hard work to do the transforming. It's messy. It's expensive. And you know what? It's not always that much fun to be transformed. We want to watch the transformation. We don't want to do the transforming. It's a hard journey. It's not something that we relish in, usually. In our text for today, we are also talking about transformation. It's easy to read this passage and get wrapped up in the sound and the fire and the wind and the speech. We laugh at the Jews who were so confounded by this experience that they blamed it on the disciples being drunk at 9 in the morning. How ridiculous for them to think that. And as much as we like a good transformation story, we love special effects. That's our favorite. We decorate our sanctuary in bright red and tongues of fire. We wear red clothes and red shoes. We like the special effects of it. We like the pomp and circumstance of Pentecost. But when we get distracted by the pomp and the circumstance and the special effects, we're missing the impact that these things had. As John Holbert points out, Luke is encouraging us not to dwell on the what of this specific event, but what happens next. The point of Pentecost, Holbert points out, is the transformation of the disciples, the confused group who ran away from the trial and the crucifixion of the Lord, transformed into bold proclaimers of the great deeds of God. Those peasants who denied their teacher, even though Peter promised to never do that, they were the ones shouting about God's power and the work of Jesus. The whole transformation from a group that constantly questioned, fumbled, fought, distracted, and totally missed the point into a group of actual proclaimers about the gospel. This transformation happens because of the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we have any idea how to recognize the Holy Spirit in our own lives? If I came up to you tomorrow or next week or next month and I said, "Hey, you, when was the last time you felt the power of the Holy Spirit moving within you?" Would you turn around and run away? Would you laugh in my face? Would you crinkle your face up and say, "I don't do the Holy Spirit"? How would you respond to me? Would you make up a really good story about how you were a really good person last week? Is that how you would respond? How are you going to tell me about the Holy Spirit working in your life? How do you recognize that? The Holy Spirit is a touchy thing to talk about in the progressive church. It can feel too radical even for us. It can feel inauthentic. It can feel campy. It can even feel fake. If it can feel like something that those people down the street do, but we don't do that sort of thing here. It sounds like something that wouldn't be inclusive enough for us. Something that was impractical for our purposes. The long list of things that we don't do definitely includes that spirit thing. As exciting as this passage is, it's also very disturbing to us. people just outright talking in different languages, crazy wind and fire. We don't do theatrics in our church. That's not really who we are. This is exactly what the problem is. The Spirit is an incredible life-giving force that has moved in our collective history for thousands of years, and yet we still struggle with it today. John Wesley wrote in his diary many times about the moving of the Spirit. Even stodgy old John Wesley, founder of Methodism, had some Holy Spirit moments in his life. Of one of them, he wrote, "The love of God was shed abroad in my heart, and a flame kindled there, with pain so violent yet so ravishing that my body was almost torn asunder. I loved. The Spirit cried strong in my heart. I sweated, I trembled, I fainted, I sung. I joined my voice with those and excel in strength." Doesn't that sound exciting? It's this powerful, overwhelming feeling of connectedness with God. And I will admit, it also sounds terrible. It sounds out of control. It sounds uncomfortable. It sounds scary. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, what do you think of? Do you think of Pentecost with the red and the fire and the flame and the wind? Do you think of silence? Do you think of comfort and the presence of God? What is the Holy Spirit? I feel like in many contexts it's become dirty words. Words we associate with other groups of people, but we need to reclaim the Holy Spirit language ourselves as part of who we are and how we connect with God. What are we talking about when we talk about the Holy Spirit? Intuition, a gut feeling, soul, a conscience, something like something felt good or it felt like something told me. It's all those things, but it's something bigger than that too. We do a disservice to the Holy Spirit when we simplify it too much. In our tradition, we believe some very specific things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the transmitter of grace in the work of sanctification or becoming made holy. And justification, this restoration of our relationship with God. This grace is also seen in the changing of hearts of humanity as an agent of God working in and through the world. Wesley also helps us to understand that the Holy Spirit as an inspirer of Scripture and a giver of gifts related to being made holy. Randy Maddox, who writes about Wesley's practical theology, says the Holy Spirit is God's restored presence, an inspired physician for healing, inspiration to our work, and a guiding our actions. When we celebrate the sacraments of baptism and communion, we invoke the Holy Spirit to come and be present with us. We use imagery of the Holy Spirit being poured out over what we're doing. When we baptize people, part of the liturgy says, "Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless this gift of water and those that receive it." And then we pray over them, "The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be made a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ." We like this pouring imagery. In communion, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. We are constantly asking the Holy Spirit to be present in what we do here in this place. We can recognize that when we see it here. It takes specific attention in order to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit, but it's constantly around us. I believe that the Holy Spirit moves in my life when I least expect it. It's very sneaky that way. There are moments in our lives that are so beautiful, so magical, so awe-inspiring, and so close to what we believe the kingdom of God should be like, that we are moved to tears. Words completely fail us in that situation. But it also takes time and attention to cultivate an awareness of the Holy Spirit in your life. It takes focus to see what the Spirit is doing. Sometimes I feel the Spirit but don't move, and I regret it. It takes time to be attuned to the work of the Holy Spirit. As we work on our own awareness of the Holy Spirit and how we experience it, we can always recognize how others are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. How are the disciples transformed in this story? Two things happened after Jesus departs. The first thing is that they return to Jerusalem with great joy. They were not depressed over the absence of their leader. They finally got it. They finally understood why he had to go. And that allows them to turn their attention to the opportunities for action to spread the gospel. The second change with the disciples was the strength of their spiritual lives. They were different people. They didn't turn away and run away like scared children as we'd seen before. They were able to now turn the world on its head. They were capable of that action because they finally understood the departure of Jesus. So if we saw how the disciples were changed by this action and their subsequent impact because of that, how does the Holy Spirit transform you and I? The Holy Spirit never leaves us where we are. The Holy Spirit pushes us out beyond our personal boundaries. Our transformation is happening daily. Sometimes it's by great leaps and bounds, and sometimes it happens as slow as a slug. We don't even recognize it. I feel the Spirit moving when I hear a particularly beautiful piece of music, sometimes in the church and sometimes in other places. I feel the Spirit move when I see kindness, when I feel like someone is truly hearing what I have to say, when I'm able to sit in silence and be present to the moment. Sometimes the Spirit nudges me to say and do things that I don't really want to do, but have learned over the years to trust the movement of the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit moves me to do great things that I enjoy and appreciate. You never know what the Spirit's going to do. What I want for you is to live your life more aware of the Holy Spirit, to be able to recognize it when you encounter holy moments in your life. They don't always happen in this building, but hopefully some of them do. Sometimes they happen when you see a beautiful sunset or you're by yourself. Holy moments happen everywhere. When you have a good conversation with someone you haven't seen for a while that completely fills your soul. I am moved by the Holy Spirit more often than not to tears. Tears of joy, tears of confusion, tears of acknowledgement. It can even happen in those silent moments right before you're going to fall asleep. Watch out for the Holy Spirit. Most of the time when the Holy Spirit ruins my makeup, I am not very happy about it. I am mad, I'm embarrassed, I'm uncomfortable, but it has always been powerful, important moments in my life. I hope that you will allow the Holy Spirit into your consciousness and allow you to be rumpled a little bit. Because I want to be transformed by God, to be made new, to be given opportunities to reveal the working of the Holy Spirit in other people's lives too. Sometimes when we can't see it, we need someone else to point it out for us. I hope that you can be more aware of the Holy Spirit when you find yourself in the midst of a transformation in your life. It can happen in the midst of regular life changes like graduations, marriages, the birth of children, new careers, retirement, or a brand new city. Be aware of the workings of the Holy Spirit as you are transformed. Not all transformations are welcome or painless. And the transformation that is happening to you today might look different tomorrow or next week or next year. As you watch transformations around you and amongst your friends and family, be aware of the Holy Spirit. Be thankful for examples of those people who have struggled and found themselves on the other side. And as you go from this place, I hope you are moved to action, to hope, to work, to compassion, to tears by the Holy Spirit for the transformation of you and for the transformation of the world. And when you are moved by the Holy Spirit, something amazing, fabulous, or teary happens, I want you to tell me about it. Because I want to hear how the Holy Spirit is moving and working in your life. Amen.